In my late teenage years, I was 18 or 19, one summer, three of my friends and I got involved in road rally racing, road rally. Haven't done it since, but it was something we did that summer. Just a brief explanation. If you're part of that race, the people organizing the race will lay out a track, lay out a path. And it's always on back roads. At least, you know, the ones we did was always on back roads. Very few paved roads, actually very few. Certainly none of the major roads for any length of time. But they would lay it out and they would put little way stops along the way. And then they would write out directions that you were supposed to follow. And you, if you followed those directions, you came, you would come to a way stop and you would check in and then you would take off on the next leg of the rally. And besides following the directions, which was the first challenge of this type of racing, the other challenge was they also would tell you how what speed you're supposed to be traveling at different times through each one of these legs of the rally. So you might have to go 5 miles at 50 miles an hour, and then you turn at some signpost or someplace, and you go 3 miles at 40 miles an hour. And so it wasn't just getting to and finding the checkpoints, it was also, did you do it in the time that you should have? And then you were graded and scored. And it was a lot of fun. It always started at night, so you were driving through the middle of the night, dark, very, you know, so all you could do was follow the path that they had laid out for you, hope that you saw the markers that they said were supposed to be there at certain times, make the right turns, and you know, it was for us, it was quite exhilarating to get to the to actually come to and find the checkpoint, because you don't know, you don't have a clue really whether you're on the right path until you find that checkpoint, and then you take off and you do it again. And there were all different levels of skill that were involved in this, different groups, and people that had, even at that time, had rudimentary computers in their cars that were, you know, monitoring their speed, monitoring their time, and doing all of these things to us who were just kind of going by the seat of our pants. And I had a lot of really fun stories, disasters in some cases. Not too many on our part, but the other pair, you go two in a car. So we had two different cars. And so you never see each other other than when you kind of got together at the end. But there were some stories. So it was really a lot of fun, but it was that exhilaration of having that, knowing that there's this path, knowing that there's these checkpoints, and then finding them because you followed the directions properly and interpreted the directions properly in some cases, was just really a cool thing. And how that leads into the message today is that God has also laid out a path for us to follow through the course of our lives. He has given us checkpoints, waypoints along the way that we hope we all get to every, you know, as we go along in the path. He's given us directions on how to get to those waypoints as well. And he even gives us help when we find out that we're completely lost, which is also one of the things they did in the rally. You had this special envelope that you could rip open if you got lost to get you back on track. God does the same thing. There's a theme running through the Bible that there is a way or a path or a highway or a route that God has established for his people to follow. And it's interesting that when you read how the early Christians were described by some of the Gentiles around them, nor even the Israelite Jewish leadership, what they believed was called the way. And some, you know, they were someone who followed this way. So I'd like you to, we're going to turn to a few scriptures and just look at some of those descriptions to begin with here. The first one is in Acts chapter 9. And we'll read verses 1 and 2 of Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, who of course became Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul was given permission by the Jewish leadership to hunt down people who were following a certain path, a path that was different than what the Jews thought you should follow. Something that stood out. Well, we're in Acts. We'll turn to a couple more scriptures that talk about this. Chapter 19, Acts chapter 19. And we'll read beginning in verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, this is Paul, and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And then just jump down to verse 23. And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way. Again, a way is another word for a path or a road or a philosophy, certainly, that these New Testament Christians were following that set them apart from even the Jews who were fairly close in what they believed and what they practiced, in some ways at least, to the early Christians. But it set them apart. And then chapter 24 has one more reference we'll take a look at while we're close. Chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. So, similar to what we see right now, mainstream religion, the religion that dominates our culture, would like to call us something weird and something not, right? A cult. Instead of a sect, they're called a cult. But Paul is saying exactly the same thing. These believers that were following this path, this way of life, were being called, basically called a cult, not a legitimate form of worship. As I said, God has laid out a path for us to follow. And today we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about that path that we should all be walking. The path that we should follow. And I've titled this message so Tom doesn't have to come up to me afterwards. I've titled it The Road Less Traveled. The Road Less Traveled. This path, we know, isn't an easy one. God's made it clear for us, and any of us who've been living it for any length of time recognize that it isn't easy. God said it would be difficult. He said there would be temptations. He said it would be hard to find our way many times. He warned us of Satan, that Satan's job is to try to pull us off of that path. We see a society that in many ways has been created specifically for that one thing, to pull mankind off of that path. To make it so they can't even see that there's a path there that they can follow, that it's even an option for them to follow. And for us who know better, we live in a society, we live in a world where Satan's going in front of us and kind of trying to scrub the path, camouflage it, so we lose our way, so we can't find it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. There are times There were times in that road rally where we thought that we were on the right path, only to find out that we had gotten ourselves lost. And we had to backtrack to a point where we knew we were good and then find the path again. And that is what happens in our Christian lives too. There are times where we think we're on the path, where we think we're headed where God intends us to be going. And then we start to see signs. If we're looking, we start to see signs and say, no, I'm not. Because God gives us warning signs. God doesn't just allow us to wander off, to leave the path, and just take off. And he doesn't just give up on us. But he gives us signs. You know, I can think of things that happened in my life when I was mistaken. And there were signs that could have alerted me sooner if I'd really been paying attention. So that common Bible verse about he that thinks they stand, take heed lest you fall, applies to this certainly. Don't just assume that you're walking the path that God has set for you because you want to, because that's where you hope you are. Look for the signs. There are signs when you're on the path. God's help, God's blessings, peace, joy, love. Those are signs when you're on the path. And we'll read scriptures that say those are aspects of someone who's walking on the path. If you don't have those in your life, even if you think you're on the path, it's time to step back and see whether that's really the case or not. If you're in constant turmoil, if you can't find joy in anything, then we have to stop and ask ourselves, am I on the right road? Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to read verse 19. Familiar scripture, but sobering, I think. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I could certainly paraphrase that. I have set before you a path that leads to life, and I have set before you a path that leads to death. Choose the right path. Choose the right path. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 will begin in verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left, and remove your foot from evil. Be aware of the path. Look at the path. You know, it's very easy to just walk around looking at the pretty pictures and get distracted. And again, I'll go back to the society that we live in. We constantly have to check ourselves on whether we're walking where we should. Constantly have to do that because there's just too many things that can pull us away. Turn now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. So saying something very similar to what we just read few minutes ago in Deuteronomy. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by that way. And narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Narrow and difficult. If you've ever tried to walk a balance beam, you know, something that's 3 or 4 inches wide, it's difficult. Easy to lose your balance. The only way that any, and I've had a few occasions where I was stupid enough in my career to get up and walk on steel beams up when they're up in the air, you know, you're 15, 20, whatever foot up. Probably that was as high as I was off the ground. But the only way to do that and be successful is you have to stay focused on that top flange of that beam. Watch every step you take. If you're trying to walk a straight line on something that narrow and you start looking around, oh, that's really cool, you're gone. Narrow is the path and difficult is that leads to life. That's the road God has set us on. We're here, so we're on that road. That's the road God wants us to walk. But it isn't going to be easy. My time in high school, I can't say was an incredibly fun time for me. I didn't mind the education part of it, but everything else was difficult. My parents were in the church, so I was in the church growing up, and so we had all of the holy days that made me stand out, made me be difficult or different. And even back at that time, even hairstyles and everything else, the church was the opposite of what the hairstyles were currently. So everything about me was different. It wasn't a hard time. But I did enjoy most of the classes that I took. I liked that. And I was a big reader, so even the English classes in general I liked. But I did have one semester where we had to do poetry, which was not my favorite. I never read poetry. I can't say that other than when I stumbled across it, I've read it since then. It's not something that speaks to me. Just that touchy-feely thing was why I didn't want poetry in the first place, I think. But there are some things that have been written in that form that actually have value, or at least I can see value, even back then. And I came across a poem that really was one of those that meant something to me because of what I was going through in high school. And it's that poem is where the title of this message comes from. So I thought I'd just read one little part of it, because it does, again, talk about the road we're on. The title of the poem is "The Road Not Taken" by Robert Frost. And there's more to it than this, but I'm going to read the part that I really kind of liked. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Sorry I could not travel both, but being one traveler long, I stood and looked down. One of them as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. And that's what has happened to us. We have taken a road less traveled. God has called us to something different than most of the people that we know of in this world experience, and a different path than most of them are following right now. And that has made all the difference in our lives. Anyone with any level of self-awareness can set and recognize how much different your life would be if you weren't walking this path. And I would certainly hope that when I say how much different, you think how much worse it would be if you weren't walking this path. So what does God say we're going to find? What are some of the rewards that we're going to find if we follow His path? The Bible talks a lot about this. There are thousands, literally thousands of scriptures in the Bible that talk about way, road, path, all those similar similes, think words that are similar to that. So we're just going to look at a few scriptures and a few aspects, but things that we should find and should be should be some, kind of those waypoints, those checkpoints that I talked about, that we should have this if we're on that path and following it properly. One of the things that the Bible says we should find is joy. Joy. Turn to Psalm 16. And none of these verses that we're going to read are big, long drawn out proofs. They're just comments about what happens if you follow this road, this path that God has placed us on. Psalm 16, in verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, overwhelming joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God will show us the path that we should walk. And in that path, because that path places us in his presence, we should have joy. That doesn't mean it's the only thing we ever experience, because we're going to look at other things here too. But it means there should be joy for extended periods of time in our life. And remember, even Paul said, I count it all joy when I suffer tribulation and trials. So just because you're suffering a trial doesn't mean joy shouldn't be part of it, right? If you're following the path properly. So that's the yeah, but what about all those trials? We know we're going to have trials. How can we have joy? Paul figured out a way to have both, to experience trials, to go through his trials, and still have joy in his life, which means it's possible for us as well. Paul, we won't turn there because it's very similar to what we just read, but you can write down if you're taking notes, Acts 2:28. He referenced this scripture in Psalms, explaining his life and his experience. Think of the friends that you find within God's people. That should give you joy. The friends that you become close to. Friends that become family. An extended family that none of us would have if God hadn't placed us where he's placed us. We should have joy for that. Joy from doing the right thing. From knowing we had a choice. And making the right choice. Joy that we pleased God. Joy that we did something good. We should find joy in studying God's word and understanding things more fully. We should have joy in talking about that to others. That fellowship of talking about the word of God. It's sometimes we have a hard time doing. It should give us joy. I think when I think about this aspect, I think about the two people that were after Christ's crucifixion, were walking, and Christ came and walked with them. And then after they recognized who it was, and he had left, and they were talking about the experience, they said, "Don't you remember how we burned? How exciting it was to talk about those things with him." There's a joy that should come to us. And again, if we don't have that, then that's an indication maybe we're not completely on the path that we should be on. Another thing that comes from walking on this path is rest. Rest. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to read verse 16. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 6:16. Stand in the ways. Stand in the roads. Stand at the crossroads. And look and see. And ask for the old paths, where the good way is. And walk in it. then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Prophecy, but also a description for us. God says, when you look for that path, walk in it. And he talks about the old way. And if you read some of the commentaries, it's saying something that is tried and true, or that has been established. To the sense that he's saying, choose the way that you know get you to where you want to go, get you to the right direction. Choose the path that you know leads where you want to go. Oh, no shortcut. How many times have I said that, or somebody said that to me, and you follow it, and you're Looney Tunes somewhere before you figure out how to get back to where you need to be. Look at the crossroads. Look for the established way. Choose to follow that way. Another thing that comes from walking this path is compassion. Turn to Psalms 19 for this one. Psalms 119. We're going to read, beginning in verse 30, Psalms 119. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. So all of these three scriptures start with him saying, I've chosen the way. I've chosen a way that you've laid out for me. And he says, by doing the things that I know that I should do, that you show me, in the end you enlarge my heart. You make my heart open. You make it bigger. You help me to feel in ways that I wouldn't have otherwise. And walking this path can be very humbling. It's designed to help us to grow, not to be the easiest path. We face hardship. And through all of those things, if again, we allow God to lead us through all of those things, we can have more empathy for other people because we've experienced things. It's easy for me to have empathy with someone who is going to school and going through the things that I just talked about in high school because I went through it. I would probably be less empathetic, be less concerned about it if I hadn't felt it myself. Every one of us go through things, and we've talked about this before, part of our training and our education, because at some point in our life, now or in the future, we're going to use those experiences to help someone else. We're going to be able to say, I know what you're going through. And they won't be able to say, oh no, you don't, you've never, because you will have gone through those things. Walking God's path, walking God's road for us, should help us to care more about other people. Should open our heart, enlarge our heart to be compassionate. God says another thing that we can expect if we walk this path is protection. Protection. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, we'll read verse 8. Again, a simple statement. He guards the path, the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his saints. God is always walking with us. There's that, I think that's a poem too, isn't it? Footprints in the sand or something like that. Another one that actually has a good message to it about God. God walking with us and carrying us. God says, if you walk this, even though it's going to be hard, I'm going to be with you all the way. I will never leave you or forsake you. If you choose a different path, that isn't guaranteed. You know, what the Bible also says, our sins create a separation between us and God. If we're choosing to walk a path that in any part of the path that is really leading us to sin and endorsing sin, God can't walk that path, that part of the path with us. He doesn't leave us, but he can't be as close. The fifth thing that I have written down, the last thing we're going to talk about or look at in this section of the message, that comes from walking that path, ultimately, is eternal life. That's our goal. On the road rally, the goal was a breakfast at some diner somewhere north of Grand Rapids. God's path, the reward is a whole lot better than that. A whole lot more worth making the effort to take the trip. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. And we'll read verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. The way of righteousness is life without death. Without eternal death. How many people in the world fear death? Fear it. They're afraid. They don't know what's going to happen to them. Or they have an idea that has been warped by Satan of what's going to happen to them. And they get to near the end of their life and they're afraid. It's one of the most vivid memories I have of my father-in-law. You know, he was always he was a man of his time. You know, not a lot of emotion and always a tough guy. And we were with him when he died. And I can remember, and this is in the last seconds before he died, I can remember a look of terror, not just fear, I guess I would say terror, on his face. Almost the last thing that he experienced. And it was obvious and vivid. He never talked about it, but it was there. And you contrast that with people that you've known that have been part of God's church. When they come to death, there's not that same kind of fear. You know what's next. You know that it isn't the end. You know what God has planned. I think many times when you get to that, if you've been walking the path and you know you've been walking the path, you can be like Paul who said, you know, I know there's a crown waiting for me. I know what God has planned for me. And so there's peace rather than terror. And that's what David is saying. The path that leads to life without death. Like we read Deuteronomy, what did God say? Choose life. Choose that path. These five things are just a few of the things you'll find if you study the scriptures. But I thought that they were enough to help us to see how valuable, how worthwhile it is to do that, and to make sure that we're doing it. Because again, we're all here, we're all trying. And I think for the most part, we think we're following the path that God has laid out for us. But again, your experience teaches you that that's not always the case. You would be walking perfectly if that was the case, and we know that isn't the case. So we're here to encourage each other to make sure, to look at ourselves and look at the path that we're walking and see whether it really is where God would want us to be. So how do we find that path, and how do we stay on that path? What can we do? I have a few points related to that. The first one of those is we have to choose the right things to follow. When that scripture recognized looking for the old ways, it was also making a reference to a path that other people have already walked. Hebrews talks about that great cloud, great company of witnesses. And it alludes to them, people who have walked that path. We have to choose to follow the right things. Turn back to Psalms 119. This time, we're going to read verse 105 of Psalms 119. What do we follow? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We follow God's word. That doesn't necessarily mean we follow someone's interpretation of God's word. We follow God's word. To do that, you have to actually read the Bible. It's one thing, and it's not, I can't say it's, that it isn't, there isn't value in listening to me up here speaking, listening to other messages that people have given. But the real way that you know is by reading this word yourself. There was a man in our history, many of you know and some of you don't, that said, don't believe me, read your Bible. That was actually one of the statements that got counties interested in the first place, that somebody would say that. Thy word is a lamp before my feet and a light to my path. How often are we reading God's word? It gets us on the right path, and it keeps us on the right path. Turn now to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll read verse 6. Familiar scripture that we read during the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread season for sure. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is saying, I am the embodiment of everything that you find written in this word. I am the Word, right? Christ is the Word. He represents fully everything here. So, another way that you follow God's Word is by following Christ's example, by looking at that example, by asking yourself, am I following that example? This is the day for me to read things because there was a song that was written that actually, at its core, had that scripture that we just read, written by Amy Grant, called Thy Word. I thought I would just read it again because it applies it. I think maybe it'll help us to just think about it a little bit more. So I'll read most of the lyrics. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're right here beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near me. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering, recognizing we're always tempted to leave the path, to not follow that light and that lamp. Jesus, be my God and hold me by your side, and I will love you to the end. Nothing will I fear as long as you're near. Please be near me to the end. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then she ends with, you're the light to my path. How do we stay on the path? We follow God's word. Both sides of that coin. Because it isn't enough to just say, Jesus, Jesus. Proclaim that you're following Christ. If your fruits show that you aren't following this word. So we have to choose the right things to follow. And we have to let, point two, let God show us the right path. Let God show us the right path. So turn to Psalms 25. Psalm 25, we'll read verse 4 to begin with. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Then I'm going to jump down to verse 8 and read the section from there. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. He teaches sinners in the path, the road to follow. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All of the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Again, those who look to the word to help them stay on that path. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall the Lord teach in the way he chooses. In the way he chooses. Ask God to show us the right way. To show us, to teach us. Again, it's easy to want God to intervene in other people's lives. Sometimes not as easy to give up things that we hold really tightly to, but are leading us into trouble. We've talked about it not too long ago, about a minister who left our organization because he became tied tightly to one idea. He let this idea that he thought he was right in become separate, something that would separate him from some of God's people. I'm not saying he's left God's truth, but he separated and created a separation. And we have to be very careful when we do something like that. Ultimately, God's desire is that for oneness, not 27 millionness. So that's a difficult thing. Ask God to show us the right path. Let's turn to Jeremiah 20 or 10. This is a very familiar scripture, but again, it relates to what we're talking about. So familiar doesn't mean that we shouldn't read it once in a while. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. If we are the one directing us, we're going to go in the wrong direction. If God is the one directing us, then we can stay on the path that he's laid out for us. That's way better than anything we're going to come up with. Way better. I would rather have God lead me through really difficult times than try to do it on my own. Because I know where the ending is. I can make things easier. There's been many times in my life where I could have made things easier. But in the end, it would have led to the wrong result. Ask God to show us the right path. And then the third point that I'd like, that we want to talk about staying on that path, finding that path, is that when God gives you directions, follow them. I kind of touched on that earlier today about that you kind of recognize when you're not happy, you're not doing what you should do, the fruits aren't there that you should have, that you know the Bible says you should have. And yet you continue to want to fight our way through the weeds and the prickers and the bush and all the hard stuff to walk the path that we think we should be walking, rather than take God's word, take the signs he gives us, and follow his direction. We just read, and I'll refer back to it, Psalm 25:10, we read it as part of a section of scriptures, but it said, God's path leads to mercy and truth if we keep our promise to listen to him. God's path leads to mercy and truth. What about beyond? What's the end that we're all looking for? This path doesn't just lead down the road a couple miles and end. The road, God's road, has a goal at the end. It leads to our future. And as I said, the idea of this path runs through all of Scripture. And it certainly leads into the time of God's kingdom after Christ returns. The Bible talks about there being a path and a way that people are going to look for. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll read a few scriptures in Isaiah related to this. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Now it will come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow to it. All nations will flow to it. People will be coming to where they know something special has been established, because they'll know that for a small teachable moment. You talk about teachable moments, you know, and you want to make an impact when you have someone in a teachable moment. And, you know, I've certainly had those my own life with kids. There's times where we've had teachable moments, you know, where a lot of times it was after they've made a huge, horrible mistake, and you're helping them get through it, you're working with them, and they're humble and willing to listen and learn, and they're teachable. And there's a huge teachable moment that will be created for all of mankind that survives the things leading up to Christ's return. And so you'll find people actually actively looking for a different path, a different road to travel. Verse 3 says, many people will come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways. He'll show us the path we should walk. He'll show us the road we should be on. For out of Zion will go forth the law, the word of God, that they'll need to follow. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about things that are going to be built and made in God's kingdom or beyond. It talks about a new Jerusalem, which is going to be awesome. But one of the things that's kind of underlying all of this that we don't focus on as much is God's going to be into maybe not roads construction, but he's going to be in road construction. There's going to be something physical made that is going to teach a spiritual lesson to those people who are left. Turn to chapter 40. We'll read verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight through the desert a highway for our God. This isn't just pretty words or word picture. It appears to be something that will actually happen, that will actually be created. Now turn back to chapter 35. Read a little bit more. That was Isaiah 40, verse 3. Now we're going to chapter 35. And we're going to read beginning in verse 8. A highway will be there, and a road. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. No unclean thing shall pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, again, teachable moment, someone who recognizes, I've been so stupid in my life. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion will be there, nor will any ravenous beast go up upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. Again, a road that produces joy. At the start, very superficial joy. Very superficial peace. Very superficial safety when you think of the big picture. But all of those things we've been talking about, that aspects of the road God sets us on, will be aspects of this road that we read about being created for people who are just figuring out what they need to do. With everlasting joy in their hands, they will obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. A physical manifestation of a spiritual principle. We talked during the Holy Days about how God gives us physical things, the growing seasons and planting and reaping, physical things to teach us spiritual lessons. It doesn't stop. As long as there are physical human beings, God finds physical lessons, physical things to teach bigger meaning, bigger spiritual things. And that's what that road will do. Just a couple more scriptures in Isaiah regarding that. Isaiah 42. Chapter 42, verse 16. I will bring the blind by a way that they did not know. Physical blindness, spiritual blindness. I will lead them in paths they've not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them, and I will not forsake them. This is what he does for us, too. This may be prophetic, but it's what he does for us. He helps us when we're blind to see. He helps us when we're not following the straight path to find it again. He helps us to see light when we see darkness. And the last scripture was in chapter 58. We'll begin in verse 12. Again, I think a familiar section of scripture. Those from among you will build the old waste places. You will raise up foundations of many generations. You'll be called a repairer of the breach and a restorer of streets to dwell in. Restorer of streets to dwell in. Helping people see the road they should be walking. If you turn your foot from the Sabbath and from doing my pleasure on your holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and holy, the holy day of the Lord, and honorable, and will honor him, and not do your own ways, but or find your own pleasure, or speak your own words, then you'll delight yourself in the Lord. And I will to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed him from the heritage of Jacob, your father. The word or the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Again, tying in obedience to God's law, following his word, to being a hallmark of someone who is on the path that God sets out for them. It's on the path of, that God wants us to walk. That leads to glory. That leads to eternity. That's the end of the road. That's where it leads. This has really only been a short study on this topic. I hope that it's been helpful. That it's given us things to think about. Given us reminders of possibly things that we need to take a closer look at in our own lives. To see whether we're on that road, on that path. Because we're on a journey. We are walking. We are moving forward into the future. Every step that we take, every minute that goes by, we've walked into the future. The journey is happening until we die. Well, and even beyond that, honestly. The choice isn't whether we move forward. The choice is what path we follow, which road we're on. We're here because God has chosen us to walk a road less traveled. A road that isn't followed by most of the people living in the world today. But a road that will make and has made a huge difference in our lives. And will make a huge difference in our lives if we continue to walk it. So God promises to be with us. To help us. But he leaves the choice up to us. So let's follow his advice. Let's listen to what he says. Let's choose life. And let's follow the road less traveled.